tell me about these online experiments. Fascinating.
Well, I've done lots of experiments on telephone telepathy, email telepathy, and so forth, which work very well, and they're sort of manually operated. I've now got these automated tests that anyone can do through the internet. The internet turns out to be a perfect way of doing this sort of research, because for a test of telepathy, you need to have a person and someone who's sending them a message or a thought or an intention. They need to be separate from each other. They need to be linked up. They need to know when the test is happening. And the internet can do all these things with people over any distance. So it turns out to be a very good medium for this. And I've now got an automated email telepathy test, which once you've logged on, it's just a matter of you get some emails from your senders. You have to guess who's emailing you, but just before you get the email. That's all done automatically. The scores are automatically kept in a file, and you get your results at the end of the test. And, of course, it's free.
And you're doing, what, 5 tests here, I see.
I've got, yes, several different tests. I have a text message telepathy test that works with text messages on cell phones. That one only works in Britain, unfortunately, at the moment. So people in the U.S. can't do that one. But the email telepathy test works fine in the U.S. It's been tested out. It's quite a new one.
Tell me, what are we looking for with this?
Well, there's 2 or 3 points here. First, there's the ongoing debate with the skeptics, you know, who say telepathy doesn't exist.
Right.
So the idea is to enable anyone to take part in tests of this to provide, hopefully, a lot of evidence that it does. I think there's already a great deal of evidence that it does exist, but this is a way in which the evidence can go on piling up. And it's a way of getting the research out of universities and research institutes into real life, so anyone can take part. And these experiments can be done in schools and colleges and at home by anyone who's interested. So that's the first point. It's a way of doing research. Secondly, it's a way that anyone who's interested can find out how telepathic they are and how telepathic they are with different people, because no, our telepathic abilities aren't indiscriminate. They work best with people that we're bonded to, and they work better with some people than others. And this is a way of finding more out about yourself and how your bonds with others work. And third, the way in which the experiments work gives us information about the process of telepathy, what sort of things affect it. So it's really part of an ongoing research into the nature of telepathy, in the way it works in the modern world through emails.
Tell me about this online staring test. I find this one to be fascinating.
Yes, that one. This is the feeling of being stared at that most people have had.
Right.
A lot of people find they can feel when someone's staring at them. They turn around, there's someone looking at them, or you can stare at somebody else, and you can sometimes they get restless and turn around and look at you. So this is, a phenomenon that's very common. Most people have experienced it. But it's one of those things that dogmatic skeptics say can't possibly exist. It's all rubbish and so forth. There's already a huge amount of evidence that it does exist. And here again is a test that anyone can do at home. The staring in this case isn't online in the sense we're not looking at people's images through webcams. You do it at home or at school with another person, and the instructions on screen tell you whether to look or not at the other person. They sit there, preferably with a blindfold on, with their back to you. When the trial begins, the computer emits a beep, so everyone knows the trial's begun, and then within 5 or 10 seconds, the subject, the person with the blindfold, guesses if they're being looked at or not. And there's a random series of trials. Either you're looked at or you're not looked at.
Right.
And each trial you have to guess if you're looked at or not. You're either right or wrong. And people are definitely more right than wrong. They're never right all the time, but the results show statistically there is a real effect.
How do they know this? How can they feel this?
Well, what it feels like when you're doing the test is it just feels like guessing. For most people who have never trained themselves to this level of sensitivity, you know, under conscious control. It's a kind of unconscious thing. And so how you experience it is you just guess, and what happens is you guess more right than wrong in most cases. So most of us have never really tried to develop these sensitivities. I mean, there are people who do try to develop them, and those are people in the martial arts. You can actually be trained in some martial arts courses to develop your sensitivity. And the other people who get very sensitive through, I dare say, through experience and through necessity are criminals. The police, I've spoken to a lot of police and private detectives who say that when they're doing surveillance operations, some people who have become very surveillance conscious, so particularly criminals about to commit crimes, because they become very wary, very vigilant about whether they're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
And people who it matters to, you know, people who don't want to get caught, also people under threat in dangerous situations, this ability becomes much more sensitive. In sort of experimental conditions where you know you're perfectly safe and secure and nothing bad's going to happen, it's not actually a very good way of testing it, but it's not really feasible to test people under situations of genuine danger.
Rivage, telepathy, paranormal, supernatural, very normal, what is it?
Well, I think it's normal. I think it's I've done a lot of work on telepathy in dogs, cats, and other animals. I think telepathy is a normal way in which animals in social groups stay in touch with each other at a distance, because most animals in groups have to split up some of the time. For example, in wolves, the adult wolves go out hunting, often ranging over hundreds of miles. The baby wolves, the cubs, stay behind in the den, usually with a babysitter. And so they're separated by a long distance. There's no way, they haven't got cell phones, there's no way they can keep in touch by any kind of technology. The only way that those members of animal groups can know what the others are doing at a distance, or know if they're needed or if there's danger, is through telepathy. And I think it's developed as a perfectly normal means of communication within animal groups. And it's mostly to do with feelings of danger, knowing when someone's approaching, reading intentions. It's not really about communication of complex information. It's more about needs, wants, emergencies, and so forth. And until the invention of modern technologies, that's the only way people could keep in touch at a distance, too. A typical situation would be a mother suddenly feeling her child's had an accident or needs her, rushing home and finding that actually just that kind of thing has happened. So there's many examples even in the modern world of
this.
I think it's rooted in our biological past, in our human pre-technological past. We don't need it so much today because we've got technologies. But I think animals have used it for millions of years. So I think this is a very deep-seated biological ability.